Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, what should the NBA do after Russell Westbrook's incident with Jazz fans? Plus, Eric Dickerson joins the show to break down a flurry of moves in the NFC East. And do the Lakers' struggles suggest that Magic Johnson has lost his touch? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
Russell Westbrook got in a heated exchange last night with a group of fans in Utah that was caught on video during the Thunder's win. Let's see what happened. All right, then after the game, Westbrook and one of the fans gave their sides of the story. Let's take a listen to that.
How it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get down on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. And there are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. As for beating up his wife, I've never put my hand on a woman. I never will. Never been in any domestic violence before, never have before. But once he said the comment, his wife repeated it, the same thing to me as well. So. That's kind of how that started. I know you guys only got the tail end of the video, but the start of the video is way more important and way more disrespectful than what you guys heard.
Russ is just F-bombing and carrying on, acting a fool down here, and everybody's getting on him. And he had, I guess, heat. I thought it was ice. I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro. And he turned to me and he's like, that's heat, that's heat. And I'm like, well, you're gonna need it. And then it turned into, not safe for work.
So that's what provoked his response. There was no swear words. There was
no. I never said a swear word to him, and everybody in the vicinity will say it. And she never left her seat, never said a word, hands in her lap. Never said a single swear word to him.
Okay, we're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, should the NBA have a problem with Russ's reaction last night?
I think they should. But first, let me address the fan.
Please.
I think the NBA and Jazz need to do an investigation, as they will, and if the fan said what Russ says he did, and investigate his tweets. He deleted a lot of tweets. Mm-hmm. There's one where he went at Russ, called him classless, used an expletive last year. And I saw a tweet. It's hard to tell what's real now,
I think the one you saw in October was real.
And I saw one where he used the N-word regard to another person. Russ, but just some random person who said something to him. And he used the N-word, called him, said, I'm going to beat you, all this
tweet.
Stuff. This was a tweet. Now, again, I don't know, what's real, what's fake. But that should be part of the investigation.
Okay.
What I was talking about was Russell Westbrook needs to go back where he came from.
Right. That's another. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what's he talking about there? Africa or what?
Exactly.
Probably, yeah. So if all this is true, then that fan should be banned for life from NBA games.
Yes.
If James Dolan can ban or kick out a fan for saying sell the team, if he can kick Charles Oakley out of the arena, then you can ban this guy for life. So that's number one. Now, regarding Russ, I get it, pride as a man, especially when the attack is racial. But you can't handle it that way. Because what if that comes to a logical conclusion where that fan gets up in Russ's face, runs over, okay, so you want to do this? And those two start fighting because Russ wouldn't back down. Forget those two. What about innocent bystanders, little children, women, you know, that could get hurt? I mean, it would become a melee. And so you can't have this type of reaction. I'm not saying sit there and take it. I'm saying it's easy to say to team security, look, this guy is using racial epithets. He said this. Go tell the arena security.
Agreed.
I want him out.
Agreed. But Chris, there's Usher standing right there. We shouldn't.
But if they don't do anything, then you timeout. Call a timeout. You're the team leader. Get your players over here. Look, we ain't playing right now.
Yeah.
We are not playing until this guy's removed. Okay. He'll be removed. Mm. It's just too much. And that message has to be, I get the pride. And Russ said, if I'm on the street and you say something to me like that, you're not going to, you know, I get it. You might risk an assault charge, but if somebody's man enough to come up to you and insult you, they can be man enough to take a punch and, you know, all that. But you can't do that you're in a professional environment. It's your workplace. And it's just too much that could go wrong. And like I said, the message has to be sent to Russ just because, like, Ron Artest, we all know the malice of the palace. He had a beer thrown on him, which is as bad as what they said to Russ. That's obviously worse.
I'm not sure about that.
But it's bad.
If somebody threw
a beer on Russ, Russ would go after
him. He would.
And we'd have the malice in the palace all over again. And so I'm on Russ's side, but he just has to know, look, we can't have this type of situation going on. We'll get the fans out of here, but you have to handle it differently.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I think there was a Thunder security man
right
behind the bench.
Right.
But it was so loud that I don't think he could hear exactly what was getting picked up on the video we saw, because Russ didn't go at the guy. He just stayed where he was at his seat, just pointing.
And I don't know how close the guy was. He in the front row?
Three rows back.
Okay.
Put it like this. He was close enough for Russ to hear it.
But you hope others would have heard it then, too.
You know what? The problem that I have since the malice in the palace, they put in protocols for how the players should act. But the fans' protocol has stayed the same. Nothing has changed for the fans. Mm-hmm. They get to say whatever they want. They get to lash out how they want. But what has happened, Chris, is this social media. Because, see, if you're at home, I can tweet at Chris Broussard and say whatever I want to say to you. But, see, when you go to the arena, that there's no more imaginary screen. That's live. You're there. I can't go into a Starbucks and tell my server, you know what? You are you know what? You know your mama is a you know what? Your dad is a you know what? They're gonna call the cops.
Right.
Because they call the cops on me wanting to use the bathroom. I know good and well they're going to call the cops on me if I start berating one of the servers.
Well, the other day, some guys, I forget where it was, at a fast food place, they went outside and started beating, you know, the workers started beating up the angry customer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that's the thing. The problem that I got, you know, when Russ said about the female, I'm going to whip you.
Obviously.
He should have told him, man, look here, your wife going to call you to really catch one tonight. He gave too much detail. My wife was sitting there. She was sitting there, hands in her lap, and she didn't say a word. That's an awful lot of detail.
Mm.
The thing is, for me, it's hard for me to believe that Russ would have even engaged her had she not said something. For Russ to react the way he did, Chris, that man ain't just say, hey, bruh. Hey, sit down and ice your knees. Mm. Really? And Russ going to lose it like that because he said, bruh, sit down and ice your knees.
Yep.
For Russ to react the way he did, because we go back to last week, Russ, when that kid touched Russ, he turned around and he realized it was a kid. I'm not so sure had that been an adult, he would have gotten the same response that the kid got. Because as we mentioned earlier, Chris, there was a soccer match in, I think it was England, where a fan ran on the field and punched the guy.
Okay. Have we ever seen that in this country?
No.
Punch.
Nope. No.
No fan challenging a player on the field.
No.
Never, ever. That was your scenario that you presented,
right?
I've never seen that happen in this country.
But you remember when that fan came on the field and Mike Curtis was playing? Mm-hmm. You remember old Baltimore Colts?
Do I?
I bet he didn't run back on it no more. He tackled him. He dropped that helmet on him.
I got
but
that.
That's what and I do believe Russ when he said in his post-game statement, I've never put my hands on a woman and never would. Right. So I don't believe he was going to do.
No.
But you still, obviously, you can't say that.
Right.
You
know. Agree.
There's one silver lining to this for Russell Westbrook. This is the one thing I love about him. He is the rare player who actually thrives on this. He welcomes it. He embraces it. Not that he isn't standing up for his family and his pride, his community, but he also loves engaging in this because he'll engage with anybody, anywhere, at any time. Usually, my rule of thumb is block it, ignore it, don't fuel it, because the more you respond to them, the louder they're going to get, and maybe the worse they're going to get. And you've been there. I've covered many playoff games in Utah. It's known for its fans with their borderline vicious insults. It's one of the worst places in the league. I don't want to condemn all the fans because they have a whole bunch of good fans. Right. But it can get loud and it can get vicious with the insults, especially around the you know, the ring around.
And they're closer to the court.
They are closer, and I've sat courtside of a bunch of NBA Finals games there. How did Michael Jordan deal with it? He just didn't. He ignored it. I never saw him engage with one fan. I never saw him even look sideways at anybody. And you know there were some taunts thrown in his direction. I don't know how racial or racist they got, but he just took it out on the scoreboard. And I told you, I only bought one piece of memorabilia my whole life, and it's that baseline from the far baseline shot of him holding the pose at the free throw line. And why do I love it? Because you can see the faces of all the fans in the far end zone seats. Mm-hmm. They're horrified like this, like, because he did it to them again and he's holding the pose. Right. Well, that's how he took it out on them. Russ is fueled by this, and to his credit, he didn't come apart over this. He wasn't distracted. This didn't get him off his game. That was the second quarter. He just got better and better. He was great in the fourth quarter.
Right.
He was the one who shot the dagger from like 30 feet straight on. It was the longest threes made all year, just to hammer home and slam the door. This was maybe as impressive a win as the Oklahoma City Thunder have had all year. But now back to your issue with this. The N-word to me, and I'm obviously not in your community, but it's a fighting word. It's the most evil word in the English language. And it should be abolished somehow, but it never will be. And it's just out there and forever. And it sticks in my craw because it just makes my skin crawl when I hear it. If he did yell, get down on your knees like you used to, them is fighting words to me. But in the end, you can't fight. I know you can fight back by going to security. Right. That's the way to do it. But I don't want Russ to lose by, you know, he says, and you wouldn't yell that in the street. Well, it's possible if you happen to walk through a bar, somebody in a lobby, somebody might yell it if they were liquored up enough. So what if they did? What are you going to gain? And we talked about it earlier in the show, and you said, well, you would gain your dignity, your pride. Mm-hmm. You're just going to put that guy in his place, and you're going to go to jail for it?
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook has a lot to lose. He's the face of a franchise and one of the faces of the NBA. He's not a good player. He's an all-time great player. And would you want, okay, if the fan comes on the court and says, let's do it right here, do you really want to do that?
No, you sure don't get to whip him, dude. Okay. You sure don't get to whip him.
Because like you said about what you have to lose, Ron Artest was, how long was he suspended? 73 games, a whole season.
Right.
Yep.
Russ would be suspended.
Stacks say he lost $3-4 million.
Right. So that it's just too much. And to your point about Michael Jordan, Jordan came from a lineage. That was a while. It was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from Jackie Robinson on, black athletes were taught, look, you're going to have these insults, racism, you turn the other cheek, all that. I like that Russ is like, and other athletes are like, no, we're not taking
it
anymore.
I do too.
Right. The thing is not to fight physically.
I know. That's what I'm
saying. But get them, whereas before you couldn't even maybe got them ejected from the arena.
Right.
Now you can get them kicked out and banned and all that.
I think Russ, it was more threatening. Leave it alone. It's almost like a rattlesnake. The rattlesnake just doesn't bite. It rattles first to let you know, okay, you treading with danger.
I did like it. I must admit, it gave me goosebumps, like in a good way, like, I'm going to F you up. Yeah. Well, okay, and you would if you.
But, Chris, you know, look, there are certain things in our community. When I was growing up, obviously, the opposite race couldn't call you the N-word. But if you said something about my mama or my grandma, you had to whip me.
Right.
Yep. Either you had to whip me or I'm going to whip you.
Yep.
So to this day, my mom, my kid, my grandma, that's sacred. Leave that alone, bro. You want to say, hey, you terrible. I'm a terrible announcer. I don't know how I got a job on TV. Mm-hmm. I can't enunciate. I got a heavy Southern. Oh, all that. That's fair game.
Got it.
But, bro, I'm not. Don't let the suits fool you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still much of a man up under this suit. So don't come. Don't. Yeah, hey, that's why I don't go out, Chris. Everybody's like, man, you don't do anything because I know me. I'm not gonna let you disrespect me, bro. It's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna disrespect you. I'm very. Hey, how you doing? Oh, you're so nice. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. To this day, Skip, yes, sir. No, I'm in California, and nobody says sir and ma'am, but that's where I'm from. Yes, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. Bro, don't come at me with that foolishness. He was wrong. I just cannot believe that Russell would react the way he did because a man told him to sit down and ice his knee.
No.
But Skip, to your Michael Jordan story, he in Denver in 98, he was playing this last year. And so I saw him on the bench, and I know him, hadn't met him a couple of times. And so I'm just going to go, hey, Mike. He didn't turn around. Ron Harper heard me. Mike didn't turn around. I'm like, hey, Mike. So I went to touch him on his shoulder. Man, they had me hemmed up so quick that security had me. Man, I thought I was a Mason table loose. It's like, nah, that's sharp. And then he turned around. He's like, nah, he cool. He's like, I see you back, you know, in the hallway after the game.
Huh. He just shut it all out.
No, he didn't.
Shut the world out.
And like I said, Harp heard who I was. Harp turned around like, oh, what's up? Mike was just like this, so I went to, you know, get his attention.
Ooh, you brought up the point about it is their workplace.
Yes.
They should have protection.
Yep. Yes. Right. You come on your job and act up. You will come on my job and act up.
Imagine if we were surrounded by people that could say whatever they wanted to us at any time and you had to perform. I mean, I know you've experienced it on a different level.
You haven't experienced one of our road shows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jenny, you about to get like 15 proposals. Yeah. Jenny, I'll marry you.
I can handle that.
And they can heckle, but there's a limit. There's a line.
There is a line.
Right. What's the guy in Washington that you...
I don't... You mean the
heckler? Robin, I remember who you're talking about.
Something like
that. Either way. He heckled, having a good old time. Never
Detroit fans or like that.
He dressed in a jersey. He got glasses. That's fine. But don't step over the line.
Right. The line. Okay, Chris, it's good to have your thoughts on this. Thank you for joining us.
No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here with a quick word about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Undisputed a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at undisputed.robinhood.com. Now, back to the show.
No mercy.
The Lakers have had a very disappointing season, and yeah, we can admit that now. But a lot of eyes are on Magic Johnson. The Athletic reports Magic ignored the pleas of coaches to keep Julius Randle and Brooke Lopez last summer. Randle is averaging over 20 points a game in New Orleans, and Lopez is contributing to the Bucks, who have the best record in the NBA. Instead, the Lakers brought in a group of veterans on one-year deals that haven't really panned out. So, Shannon, how much blame does Magic deserve for the season?
He deserves a lot of blame. He and Rob Pelinka deserve the lion's share. The only player, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, that's there that he didn't select is Brandon Ingram. Everybody else, because Magic wanted them there. Mm-hmm. JaVale, Lance, Michael Beasley, who's no longer there. Caldwell Pope, mm-hmm. Reggie, he traded for Reggie Bullock. Everyone that's there, with the exception of B.I., is there because Magic wanted them there. Mm-hmm. Now, I get it, Skip, because he's listening to the coach. He's like, okay, you telling me I should keep Julius Randle and I should keep Lopez. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're so good, why you didn't win more games? And normally what we see, Skip, is that when guys come in, they want their guys. They want guys they feel, unless they're like a superstar. Obviously, you get a new coach, you're not getting rid of LeBron and Kevin Durant, but sure. You understand what I'm saying. So, but when you look at how he constructed the team, from the very beginning, I'm like, this don't go together. It's like, Jenny, you know what? When I was eating dairy, I used to love ice cream. You know what I love? I love Salisbury Steak. I don't want them together.
Yeah, no thanks.
I know, LeBron, you might like these guys when they were, you know, JaVale was hustling and Lance was doing this and this one and that.
Wait, you lost me on your analogy. I said, Salisbury steak and
ice cream together.
But like, yeah. Well, you might have ice cream for dessert.
No. Why not? I don't want them together. I don't want no ice cream on top of Salisbury steak and gravy.
You might try that.
Nah, I don't know.
Do you even eat ice cream anymore?
I don't eat dairy.
Yeah.
It was messing with
too
my boat.
Healthy for me.
Messing with my vocal cords.
Well, that's you need those.
We need that around.
Shannon Sharp needs vocal cords. Hey.
So Skip, when I was looking at it, I was like, Magic, what are you doing? So he put this together. Now he tried to undo a lot of stuff. Now we'll see. This will be Magic Johnson going into his third offseason. We're gonna see. Now he said, give him 2-3 offseasons. He landed one free agent. He got Bron. KD's coming up, Kyrie's coming up, AD, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi. They're going to be a little Kimba. Can he land? If he can land another guy to go along with LeBron, all will be forgiven. But Skip, he bears responsibility. Now, Lopez has 158 threes, more than any center in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And what could the Lakers use more of? Shooting. Nobody on the Lakers has that many made threes. I think Kuzma is first at 111. Lopez has 158. So, yeah, Magic.
By the way, Lonzo Ball out-rebounded Brooke Lopez as a rookie last year, just for the record.
Yeah, but you understand what you're getting. You want space.
I know. I got it.
I mean, hell, if you look at it, Lonzo Ball is out-rebounding JaVale McGee. So, with that being said, I said this at the beginning. Looking at B.I., looking at Kuzma, looking at Lonzo, Jew Randle was the better of those players. But the thing you have to guard against, Skip, within any sport, football, baseball, or basketball, is he playing like this in a contract year, or has he turned the corner and understand what it takes to be a pro in this league? That's what you got to guard against a guy in his contract year putting up monster numbers. It looks to me that Julius Randle has figured it out because he's a monster. That's a grown man. He's young, but he's a grown man, Skip.
He is a grown man.
So I would have not have been upset. And I believe you could have kept the cap space, Skip, because all you had to do was sign him for a one-year deal. Everybody else is off the book. So if you signed Julius Randle for 1 year, you signed Brooke Lopez for 1 year, you still square one, you still got max cap space, cap space for 2019. So it made no sense to me. But, hey, Magic, he got to wear this hat. He understands this. It's a 7 7/8 So it fits it. So he got to wear that hat.
Which brings up my question. Before I assess blame, I need to know where the buck stops. I need to know, is Magic still in complete control? Does he have final say? Does Rob Pelinka have 50? You can't have 50% say because somebody has to have the final say.
I think Magic got final say.
Do you?
I do.
Do you remember when we had LeVar on?
Yeah.
As in ball? Do you remember what he threw
out? Well, Jeannie Buss, let me take that back. Jeannie Buss got final say.
She does. She does. She is in charge.
Yeah.
I think she's
correct. LeVar suggested, LeVar Ball, that Magic is more figurehead than in control now, that Rob Pelinka has assumed hands-on as the more effective GM. He's effectively the GM. Is that true? I have no idea.
Wow.
And listen, you can say what you want about LeVar, but usually there's a whole lot of truth to what he says. Maybe not total truth, but a whole lot.
Okay.
So I don't know where to go with this. I don't want to lay all the blame at Magic's doorstep if 75% of it should be Rob Pelinka's, or maybe some percent should be Jeannie's. Maybe.
Well, here's the thing, though, Skip. Let me ask you a question. Who showed up at Bron's doors? Because if it's me, I believe Bron thought Magic was in charge.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he didn't invite Rob Pelinka.
If Jeannie Buss wants to choose the person representing the franchise who has the best chance of talking LeBron into being a Laker, which person would you send?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say
not Rob Pelinka.
But I don't believe if LeBron thought Magic wasn't in charge, I don't believe LeBron would have opened his doors. LeBron wants to see who in charge.
Okay, so if Magic
Joe Clark. Who did Joe Clark? That's what LeBron want to know. You know Joe Clark, Skip. Lean on me.
Well, I do. Okay, so if we're going to say Magic has final say, then Magic's done a poor job of late.
Yeah.
He just has.
Yes.
In fact, you used the word monster. Luke Walton used that word repeatedly last year. He would call Julius a monster to the media. He's a monster down low.
Yeah.
Nobody can deal with him down low because nobody can.
No.
So can I believe then that the coaching staff is saying, Magic, don't let him go.
Right.
Don't let him go. And Brook Lopez, would he have been a better fit than Mike Muscala? Yes.
Yes.
Because I got to tell you, this trade, as little trades go, for Zubats, Big Zoo,
man,
this is going to go down in history as one of the worst little trades ever. And it's not major impact, but I'm watching Big Zoo last night. He has 14 points and 7 rebounds in 27 minutes for those Clippers. Hmm. He made 6 of 7 shots for those Clippers, who have now won 5 in a row and 8 of their last 10. And they are firmly entrenched in the 6th slot in the playoffs. They're just better than the Lakers. They're clearly better, and they didn't give up. They're going to lose their first-round pick, and they don't seem to care, right?
They hung 140 on the Celtics.
140 on the defensive Celtics?
And
really?
They played. You remember they went to Golden State and beat the brakes off Golden State. They had been playing well.
Yep.
They beat Sacramento by 2, even though Kyrie sat out.
Yep.
They did a number on the Lakers on Saturday night.
Yep.
And the Clippers like.
This is kind of like back to the drawing board,
yeah,
right?
The Clippers like, oh.
Kyrie might be back to bad mood Kyrie, right?
They'd be like, oh, y'all thought because y'all thought because y'all beat our big brother, that okay. little brother, because you know these things.
Interesting. So somebody had to sign off on, let's go get veteran playmakers instead of veteran shooters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it LeBron's idea that Magic ran with, or did Magic suggest to LeBron, maybe we'd be better with playmakers? I don't know.
But let me ask you a question over the scale. But what about the injuries? Magic can't do anything about B.I. Mm-hmm. going for the rest of the year. Nope. Lonzo gone for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. LeBron missed 18 games. Rondo got injured. Kuzma's out now. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's about luck and dodging the injury bug.
Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly, they need to go see Ms. Rudolph because the injury bug took a bite out of the Lakers this year.
The man who chose Lonzo Ball with the 2nd overall pick and sort of ordained him that his jersey would hang in the rafters was Magic Johnson. You're not a big fan of Lonzo's,
mm-mm.
right? So are you going to dock Magic for that move?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I like D'Angelo Russell, but he dry snitched too much. He had to go.
Okay.
He's been telling everybody business.
That's a fact. He's playing really well right now.
Yeah, he's an all-star. Really well. He's unbelievable.
Yep. He was an all-star last night again.
And look. And Julius Randle, Skip.
Yeah.
Now, it was reported that he asked that the Lakers not tender him because he felt he'd have a less of a role. Since they've been having AD on this minutes restriction, Julius Randle's on another level.
Mm.
That left hand, Skip, he don't play above the rim.
No.
But he moving people off that block.
Yeah. Here's my bottom line. Unless Magic Johnson can somehow go recruit Kevin Durant and Kyrie to come as free agents next year, both of them.
Both?
Both. You need both of them.
We don't need one. We need one.
Okay.
All we need is one. We get Kyrie and KD leaves.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the money.
Mm.
We're in the money.
I think you need both of them. I would take both of them over.
But Skip, I mean, I don't want to be fair because then they're going to look at LeBron. He get all the help. Jordan wouldn't have needed the 2nd and 3rd. Mm. But that's because I know you.
Yeah.
You say, okay, you think Jordan would have let Kevin Durant join his team? He just said, get away. You think Michael Jordan would say, Magic, come on over here? He's like, get away, Magic.
Do you think Michael Jordan
get away,
would forgive Kyrie for leaving him? No.
I don't think so.
No.
Well, he gave Dennis Rodman for putting that elbow in his back. You remember the Jordan rules?
Yeah.
When Dennis Rodman kept dropping elbows on him, he forgave him.
He never really despised him for that. That was just basketball. That's the way the game used to be played.
Well, you can't play it like that.
Okay, that's the way
you get somebody hurt.
Yeah, but he would read Dennis the riot act, man.
And Dennis ain't pay him no attention.
Yes,
Dennis was barely lucid when he was talking to Jordan. Skip, the man put a wedding dress on.
He did.
So, I mean, come on now.
Yeah, but he could rebound in a wedding dress.
Dude had lips. Yeah. He wearing lipstick, and he going to Vegas and that kind of crazy.
I got it.
But
I know him.
But you know what Michael could count on?
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Rodman getting 18 rebounds a night. That's what he could count on.
Mm-hmm.
And him D'ing up somebody.
That is if he showed up.
Yeah.
He had to show up.
Well, he was going to show up. I mean, you might have to go get him.
I remember one classic playoff night when they thought they were going to have to go get him because he barely made it by game time.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But when you talented, Skip, when I was growing up, had playing Pop Warner, had a dude, he wouldn't go to school.
Mm.
But come football,
made it work.
Hey, I'll walk over there and get him. Come on, Frank. We need you tonight, baby. Mm.
Oh, I thought he was so cool.
I thought you were Frank.
No, Skip, I was a late bloomer. Okay. Late.
All right.
Very late.
Late.
Mm. Late.
But boy,
okay.
When I bloom, ta-da!
What is that?
I'm waiting.
Mean?
I'm waiting.
Still waiting around here.
Yeah.
No mercy.
The Eagles roster had some major changes yesterday. First, they let former Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles leave, and he will sign a 4-year, $88 million deal with the Jaguars, including over $50 million in guaranteed money. Foles was 5-2, including the playoffs last year as the Philly starter, but the Eagles also got Carson Wentz a big target by agreeing to trade a 6th-round pick to the Bucs for 3-time Pro Bowler and former Eagle DeSean Jackson. Shannon, are the Eagles better or worse now?
Better. Way better.
Woo.
Way better.
You just will never learn.
Better.
Never learn.
I love the addition.
Tell us.
Skip, D-Jack is 32 years of age.
Yep.
But it's hard for you to find a better deep threat receiver in all of football. How he keeps getting deep is unbeknownst to me because he's only going to run a handful of routes, and it's going to start with the go route.
Yep.
He still has that ability to get behind. So now you got a guy that can legitimately take the top off.
Mm-hmm.
You got in Zach Ertz that can work the underneath.
You do.
And then you have Alshon that can work the middle and make the tough catches.
It's a good XYZ.
Ooh,
yep.
Mm-hmm. You like it at two? It'll walk into him going to be healthy. He's going to be fully recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And now they add Malik Jackson.
Mm.
Pair him with Fletcher Cox.
Mm.
Brandon Graham. Barnett's going to come back healthy.
Mm.
Darby will be back 100% because he went down early, Skip. Y'all in a heap of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I love what the Eagles did.
Who's y'all?
Cowboys.
Oh, you mean the division winners last year, the reigning champions.
They won't repeat. Now, that won't happen.
Mm.
Since you over there bumping them, you feeling good. You want to put some dew on
that? I think we already put like 4K.
No, we got dew. Y'all going to make the playoffs. You want to put some more dew that y'all won't repeat?
Yeah. I got it.
We're doing it right
Hold
now.
On. Y'all gonna repeat as division champ.
Yeah.
Two cases.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So good. So how many do we have total on
We this? Got like 6.
And it's March, right?
It's March.
Just want to check.
Because I lost like 25 cases. I gotta get half of that back.
Okay.
I love what they did. And I get it. You're looking at Nick Foles, you know Dak. Dak's like, Nick Foles got 88 million. I need $188 million.
Mm.
But anyway, Skip, look, I think the thing is for Nick Foles is what he had going in Philly, Skip, there was really no expectations. Because if you lose any of those playoff games, Skip, they're like, okay, yeah, they lost. But he was the backup. He's going in a very similar situation to one Kirk Cousins. He's thought of as being the savior. They haven't made a whole lot of additions to that team in Jacksonville. They say we have enough talent in-house. We're one player away, which happens to be the quarterback.
Yep.
If we get that guy, we're taking off.
Hmm.
Do I think they're better than Indy? No.
Hmm.
Do I think they're better than the Texans? No.
Hmm.
So now they fight with Tennessee for third.
Hmm.
Skip, I know you love Nick Foles, and I think sometimes you like Nick Foles to try to needle me, but it's not going to work. He's going to go to Jacksonville. And Lil Duval going to smoke even more because he's going to be disappointed with the end result. Philly made out like bandits. And they are well, it's not grammatically correct, but they mow better than your team. That's for
sure. They got the mow better blues.
No, they don't.
They're
going to be better than the Cowboys. That's for sure.
So I want to begin by congratulating the Jacksonville fans and Lil Duval on their newest quarterback acquisition because it's going to change their football life.
Whatever.
And I want to offer my early condolences to Eagle fans because you are now stuck with bounce it to him Wentz. You are stuck with him.
Okay.
I don't know what Nick Foles needs to do anymore to convince you. He's the magic man. They built a shrine to him in the locker room last year because he turned around their season for a second straight year.
Tore it down.
He turned it right around. Do I need to remind you again? For the regular season, he's 68 touchdowns to only 33 interceptions. And if we look at the postseason body of work, and it is a building body of work, He's actually 4-2 in the playoffs, but easily could be 6-0 in the playoffs because he lost a game to Drew Brees in which he pulled off the winning drive, and then Drew Brees canceled it out with a last second.
And he could have lost to Atlanta the first game last year, and he could have lost Chicago.
He won, and he went up to Chicago, and he beat the number one defense in pro football at Chicago.
Skip, you saw the guy clink it off the upright.
Right? Well, he beat them. What did the scoreboard say at the end of the game? He's the magic man. He's Nick Foles.
Okay, I want you to keep that same energy now.
I got the same energy.
It's not going
and
anywhere.
What did he do to Jenny's Vikings when they were ranked number one in defense a year ago? He torched them, albeit in Philadelphia. He torched them. What was it? 38-6? It was a wipeout.
Just are you talking about, the NFC Championship?
Yes,
horrible
yes.
Day.
And then what happened back in January and New Orleans, what happened?
They lost.
It's 2nd and 10 at the Saints 27. It's Saints 20-14 with 2 minutes left, and he is driving the football again. He is the magic man, and he throws an 8-yard spiral and hits Alshon right in the hands. This, he's got the web up, right? Hit him right in the hands, right through the web, right to Lattimore, and that's ball game. But it should have been ball game the other way because he was driving for the winning score, and I have no doubt he would have pulled that one off. Easily could be 6-0 in the playoffs. So now poor Carson Wentz.
Ain't no poor Carson Wentz.
Think of this. He's trying to replace now a former Super Bowl MVP. This is the same Nick Foles who hung 41 points on Bill Belichick, who then did a number on Sean McVay and Jared Goff in this last Super Bowl. Would they wind up with three?
Maybe he ain't as good as old Dougie P.
Mm.
Maybe you thought about that?
Well, there is this guy named John DeFilippo who was the quarterback coach going back 2 years
ago. He ain't called no plays.
Okay, well, he was the quarterback coach, and he knows all about the magic man, and now he's got it.
First of all, stop saying he's the magic man. He's not no magic man.
He turns things around. So all of a sudden, he joins a Jacksonville who just 1 year ago, everybody was driving the bandwagon towards Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they were driving with Blake Bortles still at quarterback, and you never liked Blake Bortles.
Nope. And I said it was, and I said that we're not going to the playoffs this year.
Okay, that's fine. I can't remember what I said about them, but I didn't love them either with Blake Bortles.
Of course
I thought
not.
He was better than you did, but still. So that defense was still, it was 5th in yards allowed and 4th in points allowed, so it had a bad year. It fell in sacks. It wasn't sacks.
And they didn't get the takeaways, so they weren't able to put Bortles on a short field.
But if you're 4th in points allowed, are you still pretty good? Do you still have Jalen and Calais and those linebackers, Telvin and Miles Jack? Mm-hmm. Do you still have them?
Yeah, they're still good.
Boye at the other corner? Yeah, you do. They're all still there.
Yes.
And so all of a sudden, you got Fournette to run the ball, and Marquise Lee's coming off an injury,
if he come in not being 300 pounds, he can run the ball.
Okay. Oh, well, Fournette.
Fournette, yeah.
Okay, well, that's fair, but I think they're going to throw it a whole lot more than they used to because they used to be ground and pound, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you got Marquise Lee, you got Dede Westbrook. I love DJ Chark from LSU, and Keelan Cole's still there. I think it's going to be takeoff in Jacksonville.
Well, you know what it's all said and done, Skip? Yeah, they put a little shrine up in the locker room for Nick Foles.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what the Eagles going to do for walking to him when he's done. They're going to put a statue outside.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Do you realize how much pressure you're putting on that poor kid's shoulders?
Don't worry about it. He can handle it.
He's got the weight
of South Dakota.
He's got the weight of Eagles Nation on his shoulder pads now, and he's starting to crumble.
He's from North Dakota.
Huh?
North Dakota. Yeah, he get cold up there. He a big hunter.
They hunt.
Yeah.
They hunt.
Yeah.
Although there was this big story in the offseason about how he's not what he appears to be. That's what it said.
Go ahead on. Stop bringing up old stuff.
Yeah. Nick Foles is genuine. And by the way, Nick Foles is 6'6", 250. Think about that. He doesn't play that big. He doesn't look that big. No. He's a little slumped, but 6'6".
But old Big Red.
Yeah.
Old Carson Wentz.
I don't think he's red, but
he got used.
He's red.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think he's red.
Yeah.
Huh.
For sure.
Yeah. Are you gonna call him Big Red now?
You gonna call him that too after he run through the Cowboys and get back to the Super Bowl?
Well, how did he do against Dallas last year?
Man,
he lost two games to them. He is becoming my new Kirk Cousins, and I like that. I like that. I can't wait to play Carson Wentz.
Dallas won't beat him twice this year.
I think they might. I'm not going to put dew on it. I got to see how it unfolds. Jerry's got to make that bombshell move.
Are y'all going to sign anybody?
Well,
what y'all waiting on?
Justin Houston's out there. It's possible, you know. I don't know.
Y'all ain't getting nobody. Y'all not getting Earl Thomas, so I don't
know. So I'm going to give you this. I'm a big fan of D-Jack, Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah.
I like him. I know he's had his problems, but he's a good kid.
He back home. He wanted to be in Philly.
He wanted all along to be
in
Philly.
He never wanted to leave.
And Chip Kelly ran him out of town and tried to damage his reputation on the way out. And it rubbed me the wrong way. And now all that's gone. Chip Kelly's a distant memory in Philadelphia.
Yep.
And I'm happy for Deshaun being back there. But you know what? What's funny about Deshaun? He never haunted my Cowboys. Hmm. He's never.
Yes, he did.
No.
Oh, you don't remember that? But hey, you don't remember him walking in the end zone and did the nasty plunge?
Oh, that was a long time ago.
I remember like yesterday.
Huh.
Yeah.
But that same year, there was a playoff game. I believe that was that year in Dallas. Do you remember that?
It was in Dallas.
Yeah. And he had 3 for 14 yards in the playoff game.
He'll have more than 3 for 14 yards this year.
He's played him 17 times in his career, and he's averaged 3 catches a game for 67 yards, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's not game break good.
Well, y'all keep rolling coverage.
Hey.
But now they got Alshon, and now they got Ertz.
Yeah.
So where y'all going to roll coverage to?
I think we're going to be all over Carson Wentz.
Oh, but y'all did
because he goes deer in headlights. He hunts deer, but he goes deer.
That works.
But you know what? Y'all did sign. Mm-hmm. Y'all did sign old Jason Witten.
Yeah. Oh, you forgot about Jason
y'all
Witten.
Y'all did not.
We're going to use that as a
future team. Hall of Famer, if Jason Witten.
No question about it.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Walking in the routes.
Huh.
I'm
actually
more
feeling
than
really.
Oh, he going to be a coach.
I can
envision a scenario where in a year or two he's the head coach of Dallas.
No, I can't see that.
Oh, you can see that.
Well, he doesn't have any experience. How can you just throw him in like that?
Yeah, that'd be a tough.
It's a tough one.
Jumping into the broadcast booth. That's tough, too.
That's tough, too. That's
just do that.
They do that all the time, Skip.
You know what? All I know is Carson Wentz is working without a net. There's no more Magic Man.
They don't need
because he always knew. He always knew that the Magic Man would save the day.
Will you stop calling him the Magic Man?
He was the Magic Man.
No, he's not.
Did he not make magic?
Skip.
Can you take this away from him? He didn't just do it one game. He did it all these games.
You know what, Skip? Huh? You know what? You just do everything you possibly can to try to diminish Walker to him. But Walker to him going to show you. He's healthy, Skip. There's something said about having the injury that he had and being a complete year removed.
No more excuses. Pressure is on. Pressure is extreme. It's your baby. Go with it.
You saw what he was doing a year or two before he got hurt.
Walk with it.
About to be the MVP. Yeah.
You know what? Instead of walking, he better start running.
No,
what
he's fine. Start doing. He's fine.
Yeah.
He probably won't have that little big old bulky knee brace on.
Yeah.
He'll be okay.
No mercy.
Hey guys, Jenny Taft here. This Saturday night, don't miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year. Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Errol Spence Jr. takes on Mikey Garcia for the World Welterweight Championship live from AT&T Stadium. Spence Jr. versus Garcia, Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Order now.
No mercy.
The NFC East had a major facelift yesterday. The Eagles traded for Deshaun Jackson and will sign defensive tackle Malik Jackson to a 3-year deal. The Redskins will make former Giant Landon Collins the highest paid safety in the NFL. And the defending division champion Cowboys haven't made any moves yet, but they're still reportedly in the mix to sign 6-time Pro Bowler Earl Thomas.
Yep.
So we are joined once again by Eric Dickerson. But first, Shannon, after yesterday's moves, how do you rank the East?
Before I say that, they're not in the mix. They're not signing Earl Thomas. So get that thought out your head, Skip Bayless.
What do you mean?
They're at the top.
It's your worst nightmare.
We're going top to bottom, Skip Bayless. That's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles, fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah,
I love the additions they made. D-Jack, Malik Jackson.
Yeah.
Ooh, the
two
Jackson.
They just got worse at quarterback, but that's okay.
You know what?
Huh?
I always start at the top when you cut the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the most – Skip Bayless has told me he's drilled into my head, Edie. I don't know how he's done it with you.
Hmm.
The most important position is what? The most valued position is what?
Quarterback.
Who has the best quarterback in NFC East? The Eagles.
Nick Foles.
No,
seriously.
He's in Jacksonville.
No, but seriously, did he not play quarterback better than Carson Wentz did? What are you watching?
And I love the fact that they removed that walk it to him. Carson Wentz does not have to look over his shoulder anymore. That's what you do. You remove that element on, and so now he knows he's in the
He's driver's seat.
Really?
Not the catbird seat.
Really?
He in the driver's seat. Yeah.
But you know what happened to the Flying Walindas working with Aaron Nett, right?
I got the Eagles at one. Mm. I will give you this, Skip. The Cowboys, they won a division last year.
Oh.
They're two.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the Giants, unfortunately. I mean, that's like.
Yeah.
In the Washington, because they don't have a quarterback. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Case Keenum?
Yeah.
Mark Sanchez? Mm. Or Colt McCoy? Really, Skip?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Stop playing. Mm. So that's the order. Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, Washington.
Okay. Mm,
interesting. Yes, Mr.
That's
Dickerson.
Exactly what I got.
Oh,
I mean, you're looking at my notes over here, Skip. What's going on? Exactly.
You got the Redskins last?
Man, come on, dog. What the Redskins? Come on, Skip. Landon, come here. I'm like Shannon, what they got? They ain't got nothing.
And they lost Preston Smith, too.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to Green Bay.
I think that the Eagles, to me, are really the best football team. And you said it best. They got rid of this. He ain't got to keep looking over his shoulder. That's hard to do. All of a sudden, you throw interception. Oh, God. Do I look toward the side? Is he coming in?
No more shrines in the locker room.
He ain't got to worry about that. Mm. I hate to say this. I wish I could put the Cowboys lower, but I can't. But I'm going to tell you this much here. I was at the combine, and I talked to some of the coaches and some of the scouts, and this is what they said about your Cowboys. Say the Cowboys are a very talented football team, but they're not going to win until they get with a who you think?
A real head coach?
Jason Garrett. He said, did they get rid of Jason Garrett? He said, we don't even worry about him.
Yep. Hold on to him. Jerry, I need you to hold on to him.
Just keep him. Don't let him go. No, I like Jason, too. He said, did they get rid of Jason Garrett? And a lot of players, believe it or not, a lot of players don't like him. I was shocked. I thought the players loved Jason Garrett.
I believe that.
Yeah, a lot of players do not like him.
Yeah.
So, you know how it is when the players don't like the coach, they're like, man, I ain't finna get hurt for this, man. I want to get out of here. Yeah, so.
Okay.
Yep, the same order. I got to go. And the Giants, I mean, just because they got Saquon Barkley, I think I got them at, three.
Okay.
And the Redskins, they're the Redskins.
My team can win in spite of the head coach, Coach Clapp, because they've done it three times in recent memory. Because
fair
in
enough.
2014, they went 12-4. In 2016, they went 13-3.
He was coach of the year.
What year was that? Year, they won the division again. I don't know how they did it. Well, I don't know,
but
that's three times that Coach Clapp won the NFC East.
You know what?
They are the reigning champions of the NFC East.
Short-lived.
So after what I've seen, this is the way I'm going to rank this division. I got Cowboys number one. I got the Redskins.
Man, come on, Skip.
I do. I got
them. With Case Keenum.
Because of Case Keenum. I told you that it happened. Did I not say that?
He did. I mean, I don't know.
I don't do revisionist 2020 hindsight. I plunge.
What are you putting in that dude?
Nothing.
Are you putting in something in that dude? Are you
drinking
something?
Did you see what Case Keenum did for her Vikings just 2 years ago? Did you see the Minnesota miracle?
I saw what he did to my Broncos last year.
No. That cupboard is bare.
Yeah, he was in that cupboard. So you're right.
Case Keenum wasn't bad last year, and he was really good for the Vikings, and he'll be an upgrade for Washington because I'm not saying he's going to be a world beater, but they will be the surprise team. And you know what? They overpaid for Landon Collins, but I've always, as a Cowboy fan, I fear him. Now, he's more of a linebacker to me than a safety. He's in the box. He doesn't play center field.
Nope.
He's not a ball hawk. Mm-hmm. There's no Earl Thomas going on. But he just made three straight Pro Bowls, and I don't know what the Giants are doing. They just said he's priced out of their league for what they think.
How many games do you think Washington win?
That's what I
don't know. I just think they'll finish a distant second.
So
I don't know.
So you think they're better than the Eagles?
Yeah, I do. I think they're a little better.
I
think Carson Wentz. You know what? To your point, Carson Wentz isn't going to be doing that anymore, but he's going to be doing this it's a long ways down because there's no safety net anymore.
Whatever.
Huh?
No.
The bar got set too high. He's got to replace a Super Bowl MVP who hung 41 on Bill Belichick.
That was 2 years ago.
Ancient history.
It is.
Ancient.
It is.
Long time ago.
I still think that he was still nursing that knee injury.
I do too.
And you can't when you can't play football and think about you hurt. You got to play full speed. You really do. And playing a quarterback position, you really got to play full speed. You know, I think sometimes, I heard, some of the coaches say that he would play outside the box sometime. Well, Nick Foles would play in the box. He'd do exactly what he's supposed to do, exactly.
I don't know.
Nick Foles takes a lot of chances, man.
He'll throw the ball down the field, but he can't make plays outside the pocket.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Well,
but you know what, Skip Bayless, this is what you do. Now you
I don't
quit.
Do anything.
Yeah,
I just
do.
Tell you what's going to happen, and it happens.
No, it does.
I just keep
but
doing
you know
it.
What, this is what he
I
does.
Don't know. What
this,
do I?
This is what
I
you
don't
do.
Know.
You always say, my team wins in spite of Coach Clapp. Mm-hmm. When they got 273 hung on them, he didn't get them ready to play.
That's,
well, they win in spite of him, and they get
well, they got as far as they could go. They weren't ready to play.
I told you we were going to handle y'all, though, didn't
I? Didn't tell me 273.
I didn't say, how are we going to do it?
Think about this. My team had just done a number on the number one rushing attack in pro football. The Seattle Seahawks came to Jerry World and got shut down. They couldn't even get out of the blocks
and against
my defense.
And they had them 3rd and 14 figure? And let Dak run a quarterback draw for 15 yards.
That's what we do.
Okay, then what happened?
Is that what we do?
What happened at the Coliseum?
That's what we do.
I don't know.
That's
you know what?
I told you.
Seriously, in all my years of watching and covering pro football, it was the most incomprehensible development I've ever witnessed. I was in awe of it. You went to the game. I just sat there saying, this cannot be happening. It was 170 yards by halftime.
I know.
170.
He knows.
They had an Eric Dickerson day in the first half.
And CJ.
They did.
CJ. That egg with legs.
They call him CJ.
Just running over y'all.
CJ?
He said it was like, what did he use to describe how the lane, like his vision, he could see everything. So much space.
I don't know what happened.
I'm going to say this, Skip. I'm going to tell you, I don't think y'all going to make the playoffs next year.
Okay. Would you like to bet on that?
I'd like to bet some glue on that.
Please.
I bet they ain't making the playoffs.
They ain't going to make the playoffs next year.
Everybody know y'all.
They ain't make the playoffs.
That's the easiest bet I've ever won. You're in big trouble.
You in big trouble.
You got like six cases.
I got six cases.
You got four on no playoffs and two on no East.
And no East. Nope. Y'all ain't repeating.
Y'all not repeating.
No.
No.
You know what?
And you're not getting Earl Thomas.
We're going to get Earl Thomas.
I think they might get Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Mm-hmm. How much you going to pay? Because he won't land in college money.
You know what?
That kind of money?
When Jerry says, I'm going to get this done, he's going to get it done. Ooh. This has been his quest for about 6 months.
DeMarcus Lawrence, you hear that?
Yeah.
That's your money he giving to Earl Thomas.
Well, right now, DeMarcus Lawrence is tagged, whether he likes it or not. It's like, you're it. You know, tag?
Hey,
it.
Zeke.
Am I right?
Zeke. They about to get
you're
that,
it.
They about right. to get Earl Thomas your yeah. money, Zeke.
Okay. Well, they got plenty of money for Zeke. They got huge cap numbers.
They got no huge cap.
$50 million to spend.
No, they don't.
Jerry might be under the table. Who knows?
And by the way, I think Houston is coming to Dallas, as in Justin Houston. That's my just a gut guess. Yeah, just a guess.
Y'all got three linemen at the top of their position getting paid. Mm-hmm. Y'all got $20 million, $20.5 million already tied up in DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah. By the way, Travis Redder's going to come back. Full bore, full strength.
I hope so.
Yep.
Amari Cooper say, I want my money.
Okay.
Dak say, hey.
They're going to get their money.
Did you see Dak?
To the victor go the spoils. They'll get paid.
Y'all ain't won nothing. You talking about the victor
ain't
go the spoils.
Ain't won nothing. We just won a playoff game.
Really? Where they hang that banner at? Where they have the parade?
You know what we just did?
Say? We won a playoff game.
We just
pounded the Eagles twice. We just humiliated and embarrassed the Eagles. My quarterback in the fourth quarter in overtime of the second Eagles game threw for 243, but he can't throw.
Eagles will be
there. How do you throw for 243 in the fourth and overtime?
Think about that.
I agree with that. Now, they didn't have a good game.
I want to know.
You know what?
That was a beat-up team.
He took that. He had a historic day. Mm-hmm. Zeke goes for over 100. Amari Cooper goes for 200. Mm-hmm. Dak throws for almost 500. And you still needed overtime
to win.
With a tip pass to win the game.
I don't trust my defense.
Oh, not his defense.
I know.
They kept you.
Trust my quarterback.
Hold on. Well, they beat up on New Orleans.
In fact, my quarterback almost brought my team back to beat your team at the Coliseum. That got dicey in the fourth quarter. If my quarterback had gotten the ball back, what was it, 3rd and 7?
If was a fifth, we'd all be.
But you had 15 yards. How did he do that?
You had the ball 13 times in the game, but you needed it one more, huh?
I needed one more time because he was starting to heat up.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. Go look at the numbers.
Isn't that always how it works? If you just had
one. I just had one more play.
Can the defense stop Jared Goff from running for 14 yards on 3rd and 7? And why was Sean Lee on the field? Because the wolf hunter was watching. He could have hunted some wolf on that play.
They say, can Dak throw for 300 and win us a playoff game?
Yep.
Win.
Yeah. Well, he did it.
Win.
He just beat Seattle.
Did he throw for 300?
He also runs. He's Zeke. A combo quarterback.
Zeke.
He does it all.
When Zeke runs the ball, y'all can win.
I like it when Dak runs the ball.
Okay.
Got this.
Oh, y'all ain't got nothing.
Hey, we got Jason Witten back. What? That's all you need to know.
Just let him be confident.
Now you want to race. You got to run Jason.
I get it. He came back just for this race.
You know what?
Stop.
I'm starting to give in to you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you could get him.
Yep. Yeah, for real.
You guys, we're...
I don't think you could take the punishment he's going to
no,
take.
No.
I don't think he can either.
Ain't no punishment in the 40.
No.
All right, Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Y'all messing up my golf day today, but thank y'all.
Oh, really?
Yes. All right, you go enjoy. Go enjoy. We got more to talk about.
No mercy.
Conor McGregor was arrested in South Florida yesterday for reportedly smashing the cell phone of someone who was trying to take his photo. McGregor was officially charged with strong-arm robbery and criminal mischief and was released on bail. Last year, McGregor entered a plea deal after throwing a metal dolly at a bus, but that deal won't affect his latest incident. So, Shannon, what do you make of all this?
Skip, this happened about 5 a.m. in Miami.
Fountain Blue Hotel.
So both parties might not have been in the clearest state of mind.
Mm.
And I get it. You know, guy probably asked Conor to take a picture. Conor said no. He tries to take a picture. Anyway, Conor says, okay.
Mm. That's what... Pulled a Shannon Sharp move, right?
Well, Skip, this is what happened. Yeah, probably something like that. Skip, it happened to me. I was on the plane.
Huh.
So I'm sitting in my seat. You know, I'm just chilling.
Okay.
I look over there, and the guy got his phone turned the other way over here recording.
That's so awkward.
I'm like, bruh, you can just ask.
Yeah.
And I can say yeah or nay. Oh, I'm sorry. No, you're not. You're sorry that I caught you.
Yeah.
Skip, I get it. I get it. You know, it's hard because as an athlete, as a professional, you have to be on your best behavior every single day. You don't get an off day. Like everybody else is allowed to have a bad day, and you don't want to answer the phone, you don't get that, you know, you're at home, you don't answer your phone. If I go out, you know, I try to be, and I always try to be as polite as I possibly can, and for the most part, people will understand, okay, I get it, I understand. Mm-hmm. Shake their hand, thank you for understanding. It's tough, but kind of, you can't touch someone's property. You can't snatch the phone, you know.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if this is a definition of strong arm robbery, but I mean, he didn't really take it and run anywhere with it and hide it. He snatched it out of the hand, he threw it down, and he stopped.
Strong arm robbery? Over a cell phone?
Yeah.
Wow.
What you call him did some years for strong arm, mm-hmm. Bernard Hopkins.
Yes, he did.
That's when you walk up to somebody and give me, hey, you already know what it is, bro. Give me that. It's, different. Come on, Conor, you can't do this.
So to your first point, Conor now has his own brand of Irish whiskey that he is advertising on TV called Proper 12. And I'm going to suggest that he probably had a little Proper 12, if not a lot of it.
He might have had it on him.
He might have had it on him. I don't know if they sell it at the Fountain Blue now, but maybe. But again, it's just another instance of Conor being Conor. That's just who he is and how he's predictably going to react or overreact mm-hmm. in public. And we saw the bus incident,
sure.
and was some of it staged? I don't know. He just goes a little nuts because
right.
that's how he used to fight. And I thought he was great against Floyd that night when he boxed Floyd Mayweather. But that may be the pinnacle of Conor McGregor as we knew and some of us really loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like it's gone a little downhill slowly but surely since then.
$100 million to do that to you.
You know what? That's it. And I just can't, I can't get the words of Dana White. They echo in the back of my mind about, boy, $100 million? You don't want to get up and get hit in the face anymore,
Ooh, it
right?
It changes.
Yeah.
That's what you have to appreciate about Floyd, Skip.
Yep.
The way he trained after making the money that he made, that he was willing to get up and train and do all that. Now, being punched in the face is a little different than being kicked, kneed in the face. Or
and Floyd got this, he had this going for, he's
right.
the greatest defensive fighter ever.
Yes.
Nobody had a quicker head than
right.
Floyd. Ali did early, but Floyd always had the head bob.
But
you couldn't catch it.
But
he took some shots, but not like this.
I mean, Johnny Jones is, I think, the greatest MMA mm-hmm. fighter ever, Skip. It'd be interesting to see if he were to get a payday excess of, say, $75, $100 million,
mm-hmm.
would it change him?
Hmm. Yep.
Because we've never seen anything like what Conor before. The guy's always had to work and work, and you make, you know, $1 million here, maybe $3-4 million there. But Conor went from making $5-10 million to $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
That changes your mindset, Skip. It takes mm-hmm. a special type of person to get that kind of money. That's why you have to respect the top-notch athletes, the Tom Brady's, the LeBron James, the Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
You start making $30, $50, $80 Woo. Million a year, and you still have the desire to get up and train and do it all over again, Ooh. To stay on top of that mountain.
And then what mistake did Conor make next? He took on that little bear of a man who just did a number on him. Yeah, and Khabib just do. Whoa.
Well, you can't insult the man's family.
He did.
You
I know, but he does that to everybody. Yeah, like, that's just the way I do it. Not against that guy.
Yeah, that dude took that serious.
And he got punished.
Yeah.
That was a brutal
beat. Oh, the Russian bear, Khabib.
Ooh. Did he not do a number on
him? Yeah, Skip, you that man. Okay. Hey.
So just on the you just get humiliated. So he basically, because he finally had to quit against Floyd, obviously.
Yeah.
I thought he hung in great.
He hung in there great. Then old Floyd.
Boop, boop. Okay. All
and
right.
Then what about old boy? The boy beat him down, made him tap out, made him say uncle. You know what? He been saying uncle a lot lately, Skip. Mm. You remember Nate Diaz made him say uncle?
Well, then he got even.
And then Khabib, you know you big brother, you just say uncle. Call me uncle, and I'll let you go. And Khabib didn't want to let him go. Khabib went, he get that Skip, you get tied and tighter.
I think we've seen the best of Conor. I'm afraid.
No, you better not have. They signed him to a 6-fight deal. He better get some more. He better summons up something from somewhere. Dana White want a big return on his investment, Skip Bayless. And right now, he's not paying dividends.
What happened to Ronda Rousey?
Well,
did she not go from a pinnacle to slowly but surely?
Well,
it can
once
happen
she,
overnight.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Skip, is that once Ronda couldn't get people on the ground and use that judo, Holly Holm stayed up, kicked in the next week, and then Michelle Nunes.
Oh.
She told us what she was going to do to her.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy, did
and,
she?
And she just did this. Amanda, excuse me.
Amanda.
Michelle,
yeah.
Amanda Nunes. Yeah. Right. And you saw what she just did to Cyborg. Ronda's right where she's supposed to be. Maybe Conor needs to go to WWE.
Well, I think it's heading that way. Seriously.
You think that could happen?
Nah, Skip, he's too small.
No.
What are you going to do? Who are you going to be?
As an entertainer, an actor,
he's
I don't know.
Nah, you know, you need to be, I mean, you need to be the big show. Or you need to be Triple H. Come on.
Not wrestling, but
the performing,
acting,
yeah.
Entertaining. He can get.
Floyd, you mean to tell me Floyd and Khabib made the man go make the man retire?
Hey, who gave better? Has anybody ever done a better press conference than he?
No. Oh, he unbelievable.
How about that one up in Montreal? That
he unbelievable.
It was
a show.
TV.
It was.
And he always is.
But when is he gonna fight again? I want to know when he's gonna fight again.
I don't know.
We just don't need to hear any about cell phone smashing. I mean,
he fought that guy last night.
Yeah,
he won that one.
We need better than that.
Telephone. Okay. No
mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Before we go, you should know that we've got something special planned for tomorrow's show. If you've ever wanted to spar with Skip, now is your chance. Just tweet your question or comment with the hashtag SkipRidesTheTrollerCoaster and watch Wednesday to see if you make the show. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. Should be a fun one. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.